Good evening and welcome to Scratched Up Radio Theater on listener-supported KKRN Community Radio. Our play tonight is Tanner Hyde and the Search for Truth, Episode 4, written and directed by Jim Dowling and Lily Dubois. And here's Tanner Hyde, live from his radio station at KAOS-FM, somewhere in the foothills of the Cascades.
How about we do a little sound check?
Sure, Bob. Say when.
Go for it.
Testing. 1, 2, 3. You're on the Tanner Hyde Show. Testing, testing.
Good, good, good. Perfect. Okay. On the count of three. 1, 2.
Good evening. You are tuned in to Tanner Hyde's Search for Truth, the show where we invite you to share with us your encounter with Bigfoot. Oh, yeah. If you've seen him, we want to hear all about it. Tonight, I'll be taking calls from anybody out there who's seen... Hey, keep it down out there. The studio's in session.
Are you Tanner Hyde?
Look, whoever you are, I'm in the middle of taping a show. If you want to talk, how about you take a seat in the lobby, and I'll get to you when we're finished.
No, this can't wait, Tanner.
It can, and it will. Hey, Bob, can you escort this woman out of here? This is outrageous.
Ma'am, how about you follow me?
Hands off me.
This way, please.
Tanner, we got him, I swear. He's out in the truck, all tied up. He ain't going nowhere.
We on the air?
Afraid so.
Oh, God. Bob, this isn't good. We need her out of here. Sorry, folks, I apologize. Stay tuned, we'll get this handled in a sec.
Me and Gilly, we caught a Bigfoot. That's what I'm trying to say, Tanner.
Sorry, Tanner. Lady, you are coming with me now.
You say you caught... Bob, hold on. Let's hear what she has to say.
That's better. Tanner, you gotta come out and take a look. And hurry. I don't know how long we can hold on to him.
Bigfoot is tied down in your truck, and you're afraid he's going to get loose?
That some bitch is strong. Gilly said to hurry.
Gilly?
My boyfriend.
You got him out front here in the parking lot?
Yep.
Well, for some reason, nobody happened to notice a rather large creature in the bed of your truck when you drove in?
No, we got a tarp over him.
Ah, I see. That's smart. In fact, precisely what I would do. People could get kind of excited seeing what's in the back of your truck.
Yeah, that's right.
Bob, go take a flashlight with you and see if there's anything to this.
You don't believe me, Tanner? I'm not stupid.
Show that critter to my partner, Bob. That's all I ask. Make me a believer.
Follow me, Bob. Gotta warn you, though, he's a big mofo. Spits, too. Keep your distance.
All right. Time we regroup. Without further ado, let's get to that first call. This is the Search for Truth, and you are on the air.
Hi, Tanner. This is Roy Chilton. They call you...
Who?
The Skeeters.
The what?
Buck and Andy, the Skeeter Brothers.
I'm afraid that doesn't ring a bell, sir. I don't think so.
You don't lie to me.
Lie? I don't have the foggiest idea who the Skeeters are or what you're talking about.
Don't believe a word that comes out of either of them. They're not Christian.
Fine, Roy. Let's talk about...
Lucy. She's a monkey, that's all. She's big, just a monkey.
Lucy?
Yeah, the thing in the shed.
Oh, you lost me. The thing in the shed?
Don't play ignorant, Tanner. I know they called. I know they said I had Bigfoot locked in the shed.
All right, maybe there is a story here. Roy, let's start from the beginning. Tell us about your big monkey named Lucy.
Good try, Tanner. I know what's going on. I do.
Roy, I'm looking for a story, that's all. This is what we do on the Search for Truth, nothing more.
She's not Bigfoot.
You said that.
Sure, she's big and hairy and, well, other than that ear-splitting screech she makes once in a while, she's not a real problem.
But you keep Lucy locked up in a shed. Why is that?
Just until she's tamed up and housebroke. I aim to let her out real soon.
How long have you had her?
About a month. Oh, why are you asking me all these questions?
Just trying to get a clear picture, Roy. You okay with that?
I guess.
All right. How large is Lucy?
Head taller than me. I'm 6'4".
Wow. I didn't know monkeys got anywhere close to that size. Well, what kind of monkey is Lucy?
Orangutan.
You're sure?
I got pictures. She's orangutan.
I see. You know, I can hear it in your voice. You've grown attached to Lucy, haven't you?
Now you sound like the Skeeter Boys making me out to be some kind of nutcase. I got a monkey. Is that illegal? Can a guy have a monkey for a pet?
To be honest, I don't know. You see, Roy, what I'm thinking is you may have something quite different out in your shed. Lucy is sounding an awful lot like she's Bigfoot.
She isn't. She can't be.
Why not, Roy? What have you got against the possibility that it's Bigfoot out in the shed? I think you're hiding something.
Don't say that. Lucy's a monkey.
You may be wrong, and I think you know it. In the interest of science, please allow someone to have a look. Now, this isn't about you or the Skeeter brothers anymore. And think of Lucy. Is a shed the right place to keep her? To incarcerate an intelligent creature? If you truly care for her...
They'll take her away from me. They can't do that.
Be strong, Roy. Lucy is a godsend. Quite possibly the piece of this puzzle we've waited for so long. Irrefutable proof. Well, this ranks right up there with the Patterson-Gimlin film footage of 1957. Do you even grasp the magnitude of your role in all this? You, Roy Chilton, are about to make the most important contribution to this quest in years.
I have to go, Tanner. Sorry, but I have something I need to tend to.
Something? Wait, what's your plan, Roy?
No one's going to harm Lucy. That's for sure. I've made my decision.
What's that supposed to mean?
You're right. The shed's no place for her. I'm cutting her loose. Lucy's going to be free again.
But, Roy...
I have to do this. It can't wait. Goodbye, Tanner.
Wait. At least you can tell me what part of the country you're in. Boy, did that really happen? I don't believe this. Unless I'm somehow completely mistaken, we were so very, very close. Somebody out there must know Roy Chilton. Or how about the Skeeter brothers, huh? Boy, I need a break. Let's take a station break.
Hey, quit coughing on me.
It's okay. I've already had COVID.
You can have it more than once. You better get the vaccine.
For vaccine information, ask your doctor or your local pharmacist.
Okay, we're back, and this is the Search for Truth with Tanner Hyde. We've had another unusual evening, haven't we? But hey, aren't they all? I see we have some time left. Let's take one more call. Hold on. That you, Bob?
Tanner!
What's going on, Bob?
That lady, you know the one I was supposed to escort out of here?
What about her?
Well, she and Gilly, they did catch something. They did, Tanner. I saw the ropes.
Get a hold of yourself, Bob, and take a deep breath. The ropes. What's this about the ropes?
They had him tied down with rope, real thick stuff, inch in diameter.
Yeah?
It didn't hold him, Tanner. He chewed through it. He broke loose.
What broke loose? What was it?
Bigfoot. It's gotta be.
What do you mean, gotta be? You didn't actually see him?
It was too dark for a good look. Things were happening real quick.
All right, keep going.
Well, that lady, her name's Emma. I was following her out to the parking lot, but before we ever reached the truck, we could hear it. Oh, the screaming. It was weird, Tanner. This high pitch, piercing scream. I've never heard anything like that. Emma, she took off running toward the truck.
And you?
I was afraid, Tanner. I froze. I know. I should have followed her, but I was scared. I couldn't move.
Now think hard, Bob. Did you see anything out there?
Yes, I did catch a glimpse of something streaking real fast under the streetlight. Oh, God, it was huge, Tanner, but that's all I got. Just a split-second look. A blur, but I'm telling you, this thing is enormous. Anyway, as quick as it all started, it went quiet. Oh, wait, except for the groaning. When I got there, Gilly was leaning up against his truck. He was in a lot of pain.
Is he still out there? We need to call an ambulance?
No, he'll be all right. When Gilly saw me, he thought I was you. Tanner, he said. You missed him. I just couldn't hold him any longer, but you saw him, didn't you? You did see him. I told him yes, I saw something, and I guess that's all he really wanted to hear. He told Emma to get in the truck. I did my best to stall him, Tanner. I asked if it was okay, need any help. No, he swore he was fine, but then, get this. He said something interesting. He said, I shouldn't be alive. That thing could have snuffed me so easily, but it didn't. He let me go. And then, just like that, they drove off. Peeled out of here in the same direction that thing ran.
You get a description of the truck? A license, maybe?
Well, it was a Ford. Dark blue, late model. Nice truck. Decked out with a roll bar and a bunch of lights. That's all I can tell you. I don't think we'll see them again.
Hello, next caller. You're on the air.
Mr. Hyde?
Yes.
Hi, my name's Ruth, and I thought I'd tell you about my experience living with a Sasquatch family.
Are you telling me you've lived with a Sasquatch family?
Yes, for several years.
Well, how did that...
I don't exactly remember when it happened, but my parents told me that I might have tumbled out of the rear area of our family's station wagon when I was about 3.
Well, that is a great reason to use secured baby seats in your family vehicles. Any parents out there who are listening?
Indeed.
No, that's horrifying. You weren't injured too severely when you fell?
No, because it was wintertime and I was all bundled up to stay warm because our car heater was broken, so I was sort of protected by my padded snowsuit. We were a large family, and I was sleeping in the back with my sisters. I woke up and needed to pee, so I thought I'd open the tailgate and go find a bathroom. I didn't know any better, obviously.
Being only 3, that's understandable.
Right. Now, we were traveling from our home in the deep woods of Oregon to Idaho. My father was an experienced long-distance driver, so he was used to driving for hundreds of miles without stopping. It wasn't until morning that my parents realized I was missing.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. I don't know how long I was lying there on the road, but the first thing I can remember was that I was taken in by a Sasquatch family.
Unbelievable. And what was that like?
To be honest, I was so young that I don't remember the change. I must have been blown away by it all at the time. I don't know. I've heard that sometimes a traumatic event can make a person block out the actual memory of it.
Yes. And there's also the Stockholm Syndrome. When a kidnapped victim ultimately develops a dependence on the perpetrators and even sympathizes with their captors.
Maybe, but I must point out that I wasn't kidnapped.
Oh, I understand.
The Sasquatch family was very accepting of caring for a human toddler and treated me just like their own child. They must have been fascinated because I wasn't covered with fur, but being raised by them wasn't hugely different than being in a human family. I learned to eat the same food as they did, and for all I know, maybe I was even nursed by my Sasquatch mother.
So you accepted them as your new family?
Of course. They were very loving. I wonder sometimes whether they might have thought my winter snowsuit was my natural skin at first.
Were you able to communicate with them?
Eventually. Children learn languages very quickly. Remember, their lifestyle is very simple, so actual idle conversation wasn't exactly a part of their lives. But there were a fair amount of sounds and signing, and every aspect of their lives was communicated in that manner, in addition to touching, caressing, and physical content.
Well, this is a unique story.
Yes, I'm sure this was a very rare circumstance.
Now, dear caller, of course you've made it back into human society. Obviously, you know how to use a telephone to have called into our program.
Yes, I do. When I was about 9 years old, I wandered into some vacationing family's campsite. It was the smell of the outdoor cooking, the smell of roasting hamburgers or hot dogs that caught my attention. I developed quite a strong sense of smell by that time, so I followed that barbecue aroma. That family was obviously astonished by seeing a filthy, naked young girl wandering out of the woods, making gestures like, "Feed me!"
And this family rescued you?
Well, yes, but to say they rescued me is a bit of a misnomer. I had no idea that my situation was anything unusual. I was very comfortable with my adoptive Sasquatch family, and I didn't really need to be rescued. But after the humans got over the shock of seeing me, they assumed I needed rescuing. Now, this was before the age of mobile phones, so they quickly put out their campfire, steered me into their car, and drove me to a ranger station. I had largely forgotten how to speak English anymore by that time, so I didn't have an explanation for myself to relate to them. I'm sure I wasn't happy to be leaving our wild neck of the woods, but I have to admit, I loved the human food they were giving me. Ice cream, cookies, whatever they had to offer there at the station.
And did they reunite you with your family?
Yes, but to track them down, they had to go through years of law enforcement records until they finally found the missing child case that was about me.
Now, how was it for you to be back with your true family?
It was a whole other culture shock. I know it didn't take long for me to understand what they were saying. It took me quite a while to learn to speak English again. But after I got used to it, they couldn't shut me up. I guess I was eager to show off my new speech skills, so I made up for lost time, and I eventually became a speech pathologist and a forest ranger.
And how did your family take to you?
Oh, they felt like it was a miracle from God that I was returned, after like 6 years. And it must have seemed strange to them that I wasn't happier to be home. But I missed my forest family desperately, and I think maybe my human brothers and sisters didn't know what to make of me. I was absolutely wild. I didn't want to wear clothes like other kids. But I eventually adapted to human life. When summer was over, fitting into school was pretty traumatic.
How so?
I had never been in school. I knew nothing about it. I was the new kid, and I was a little terrified by so many children around me. Remember, I was 9 years old, and they had to put me into first grade to learn to read and write and add and subtract. It took the other kids a while to get used to a big 9-year-old kid being in their class. I couldn't relate to them, and of course they thought I was kind of bizarre. I didn't like it. I couldn't sit still in that hard chair, so I walked out of class and went home.
Then what happened?
My mother understood that I was a little lost in the school situation, obviously. So she let me stay home that day, but made me go right back to school the next day. She wrote a note for the teacher trying to explain why I'd left school. I'm sure it was just as hard for me to sit still the next day, but I knew that resisting school was futile.
Well, you got used to it, I assume.
Eventually, I did. I had to go to summer school to catch up, of course, but later that summer, my family took us camping, and that was wonderful. Teaching my siblings to spearfish the way my forest family had. Then I got to go to sleepaway summer camp in the woods every year after that, became a camp counselor, and eventually I got to be a volunteer with the Forest Service. After high school, I got a job as an assistant ranger, and then I worked my way through college to become, as I said before, a speech pathologist.
And did you ever make it back to find your forest family?
I wish. I tried. It was hard to be sure of the right area where my forest family lived, as I was only a child when I left. I looked and looked for them, but never did find them. Who knows? They might have even observed me and not recognized me, or maybe they'd moved on to another section of the forest. They don't live anywhere forever. They don't exactly set up households, so whenever they get the urge, they can just move on. Maybe deeper into the woods, to a quieter realm with less human activity.
Well, Ruth, thank you so much for calling. We've never heard anyone tell what it's like to live for years with a Bigfoot family.
Thank you for taking me seriously.
Well, let's take our next call. Hello, you're live on The Search for Truth.
Hi, Tanner. My name's Travis, and I have another aspect of the story about those people who brought Bigfoot to your station a little while ago.
Yes, the folks who brought him into town tied down in their pickup?
Yeah. I can tell you what happened to Bigfoot when she got away.
Really? Go on.
Yeah, see, I live out in the woods, in a little cabin by myself. Lived there for over 30 years.
That sounds idyllic.
Yeah, it is. In the winter, spring, or in fall. Summer kind of sucks with all the wildfires.
Yes, I think many of us are starting to feel that way. Now, what about Bigfoot?
But I'll tell you about what happened one winter night. I was sitting in front of my fireplace, playing my fiddle like I do a lot.
Sweet.
When my cat heard something, or smelled something, outside my door. Her fur stood up, her tail stood straight up. She got all tense.
Do tell.
I thought it might be a wild cat or a bear, so I looked out the window and didn't see any of those critters. But I did see a big, shadowy figure in front of my door. So I got my shotgun that I keep loaded and went to the door. Opened it careful, saw the biggest humanoid thing I've ever seen. Couldn't see it very clear, but what I did notice was that it had a great big bear trap chomped on its leg with a long chain attached.
Wow.
It was all furry, like you might have guessed by now, and was whimpering like a hurt dog. I didn't know what to do. It was frozen shock. But she kept whimpering, so I figured maybe I could talk to her and let her know that I wasn't planning on shooting her or hurting her. Because I knew she had just as much right to be there in the woods as I did. Maybe more.
Her, so it was female.
Yep. And they don't even have no Bigfoot hunting season in California.
Oh, perish the thought.
Yeah. So I talked real gentle, like, hey, no one's gonna hurt you. Bet that thing hurts. And that kind of talking. I just thought she'd want some help. Who knows how long she'd been dragging that big old bear trap on her leg. That's when I saw that she was female by her anatomical features.
I understand.
So I motioned for her to come into my cabin. I was plenty nervous about it, but her big orange eyes let me know that she didn't mean no harm. Well, she caught my idea, and real slow she moved towards the door, and I stepped out of the way. I had plenty of tools, so I knew I could get that trap off. So she came inside, and I left the door open for a few minutes so she wouldn't get the wrong idea. And she kinda stunk.
Yeah, right.
I gave her a jug of water and motioned for her to have a seat. Now, I knew she might not know what a chair was for, and I didn't want her to break one, so I indicated for her to sit on the floor, which she did. Then I got my crowbar and a kind of spreader clamp to jam in the teeth of that trap, long enough for her to get her foot out. It took a little work, but I finally got the thing open. She pulled her foot out, and I could see dried blood all over her ankle. She was hurt pretty bad.
No, that's terrible.
Now, I've had some bad injuries myself, so I had a first aid kit of sorts. But first I got some warm water from my kettle that I always kept in the fireplace, poured it into a basin, got a towel, and started wiping off the dried blood, poured on peroxide to get the crud out. She stayed calm, because she knew it had to be cleaned. Then after that, I kept on cleaning her off, kind of a sponge bath to maybe cut down the smell. She liked that, just sat there while I did it.
Astonishing.
And I started to realize that maybe she wasn't just a dumb animal, not like a bear.
Uh-huh.
So I bandaged it. Then I poured her a little cup of wine. Not much, just enough to make her relax, maybe ease the pain a little. Not enough to make her rambunctious.
Yeah, that would definitely not be good.
After a while, she seemed to relax, and the darndest thing, she started to make this noise, like making her voice go up and down. I finally realized that she was trying to sing. Like maybe she wanted me to play my fiddle some more.
Well, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. So I picked up my fiddle and bow and started playing kind of soft and slow, and she seemed to like it. Finally, I was about played out, so I set the thing down and piled some extra blankets on the floor in the corner and motioned her like she should lie down on it. She got the idea real quick, because probably the Bigfoots sleep on some kind of pallet made from leaves and pine needles or whatever. She could barely walk, so I helped her, and she weighed a ton. She went to sleep pretty quick. No telling how long she'd been dragging that chain and trap around. Next day, she was still pretty weak, from loss of blood, probably. Sawed off a broom handle for a cane for her to use until she could walk, then took my gun and went out to gather stuff for her to eat, like greens and a squirrel, which I skinned, and she ate raw. She wouldn't eat stuff that was cooked. We worked out a little bit of simple sign language, things like pointing and charades, because she couldn't speak the way people do. After a few weeks, she could get around pretty good. She'd go roaming short distances. She came back one day with a bobcat kitten for, like, a pet, I guess, and she carried it around like a baby. I was a little leery about having a bobcat in the house, but it was okay after it calmed down, and assumed it was kind of its mother.
That's nice.
Yeah, in a way. I knew she'd be leaving soon to go back to her people, and I knew I'd miss her and always wonder how she's doing. But tonight, after I'd been hunting, I came back and saw a pickup leaving my cabin. Now, that kind of thing never happens out there. Nobody ever came around. So I ran inside, and she wasn't there. Figured maybe she'd been taken, so I got my shotgun, jumped in my old Jeep, and started following it. I couldn't catch up, but I managed to tail it clear into town. The pickup stopped near a sign that said, Chaos FM, where you work. So somebody got out of the pickup and went inside. One stayed with the truck, leaning against it.
Oh my God, you're talking about tonight's first call.
Yep, I am. She was in the bed of the truck, all tied up. She was already gnawing at the ropes. Soon as she got her arm loose, she reached out and smacked that guy, so hard that he fell and hit his head on the curb. When I saw she was getting herself free, I whistled, which she'd heard me do before to get attention. When she got all loose, she jumped out of the pickup bed and started running towards me. I pointed to my Jeep, opened the door, and she squeezed in. She sure seemed glad to see me. I hit the gas and we tore out of there.
Wow.
So we drove home, and on the way, I tuned into your radio show and heard part of it. We hauled ass home. She got her bobcat kitten, and we headed off away from there, because they knew where we lived. I drove off into the woods to another skid road, and we went as far as I could on it. When I got to the end, we hugged each other. She hopped out and ran off into the woods with the little bobcat. Then on my way home, I called you on my cell phone from here in the Jeep just now.
Did you ever expect to see her again?
Probably not. I know she'll keep as far away as she can. Maybe persuade her tribe to move on as well. But I'm gonna miss her.
Well, maybe it's for the best. You've just presented an excellent reason for these Bigfoot humanoids to stay far away from people. I'm astounded. Are you worried that those Skeeter people might come after you?
Nah. When they find out that she's not at my cabin, they'll have no reason to go after me. Besides, I never answer my door without my shotgun. I'll be ready for them.
Well, that's good to hear. Please keep us posted. This has been one amazing story. Thank you for calling in. Well, that's our show for tonight, listeners. Until next time, I'm Tanner Hyde, continuing the search for truth.
You have been listening to Tanner Hyde and the Search for Truth, Episode 4, written and directed by Jim Dowling and Lily Dubois. Our cast for tonight's show included John Welsh as Tanner, Ernie Bottom as Emma, Don Singrani as Bob, Jim Dowling as Roy, Mallory Glavin as Ruth, Joran Antero Toll as Travis. Our technical director, as always, is Lily Dubois. KKRN Community Radio is an all-volunteer station entirely dependent on donations and underwriting. We want to thank all of you who have been able to help us through the COVID-19 pandemic with your generous donations while we have been unable to hold our usual community fundraising events. But now KKRN Community Radio is facing a serious challenge with our 12-year-old equipment. We are establishing a KKRN capital campaign to raise $15,000 to replace our computers and upgrade our Wi-Fi. We need to get at least one new computer and pay for its installation as soon as possible. If you are able, please consider our urgent plea to replace and improve the equipment that keeps KKRN in the air. Donate at kkrn.org, or you can send a check to P.O. Box 188, Montgomery Creek, California, 96065. We wish all of you a wonderful holiday season to come from all of us at Scratched Up Radio Theater and KKRN Community Radio. I'm your host, Dickie Magadoff. Good night, and thanks for listening to Scratched Up Radio Theater.
But I guess I'll smile and just wave hi the next time the big guy comes walking by. Saying hello just might come a trend. Sasquatch, Sasquatch, my big old hairy friend. There's some as don't believe in you, but I will till the end. Sasquatch, Sasquatch, hope your legend never ends. Didn't know that we were neighbors, but I hope we can be friends.
Hello, this is Freya Hansen, and you are listening to KKRN 88.5 FM from Round Mountain.